From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We're delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's program, Dr. Cairns continues a series of messages in the 8th chapter of the book of Romans. The text for this message is verses 31 through 39. In verse 1, the Apostle Paul declared, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus." Having laid out the evidence of this statement, Paul then asks a question. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? In the course of this, as well as in the final message in this series, Dr. Cairns is exploring the subject of looking at every fact and facet of life through the lens of the gospel. The first truth is that God is for His people. Next, God delivered up Christ for us, and because of that, God justifies us. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will bring the next portion of a message called Five Great Certainties of Sovereign Grace. First, we invite you to enjoy this brief devotional thought found in C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Today's devotional is entitled A Constant Witness. The text is Acts 22 and verse 15. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. Paul was chosen to see and hear the Lord speaking to him out of heaven. This divine election was a high privilege for himself, but it was not intended to end with him. It was meant to have an influence upon others, yea, upon all men. It is to Paul that Europe owes the gospel at this hour. It is ours in our measure to be witnesses of that which the Lord has revealed to us, and it is at our peril that we hide the precious revelation. First, we must see and hear, or we shall have nothing to tell. But when we have done so, we must be eager to bear our testimony. It must be personal, thou shalt be. It must be for Christ, thou shalt be his witness. It must be constant and all-absorbing. We are to be this above all other things, and to the exclusion of many other matters. Our witness must not be to a select few who will cheerfully receive us, but to all men, to all whom we can reach, young or old, rich or poor, good or bad. We must never be silent like those who are possessed by a dumb spirit, for the text before us is a command and a promise, and we must not miss it. Thou shalt be his witness. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord. Lord, fulfill this word to me also.
Oh,
As you hear in the introduction to these broadcasts, Let the Bible Speak seeks to present Christ in all His fullness. Are you seeking to present the gospel of Jesus Christ to some loved one, some neighbor, or someone with whom you work? We're pleased to offer you a booklet by Dr. Alan Cairns that is an excellent evangelistic tool. It's entitled, The Gospel of Salvation, Full, Free, and Final. In this little book, Dr. Cairns finds a balance between those who admire the message but keep it to themselves, and those who, in their haste to present the gospel, do not take time to examine its true content, and therefore never really present it in its beauty and fullness. Dr. Cairns understands the gospel, as it is presented by Christ, to be the fullness of God, and he presents it freely to all who will believe. Furthermore, he explains that the salvation declared in the gospel, once received and experienced, is final. The believer is kept by the power of God, and nothing can separate him from the love of God. For a free copy of The Gospel of Salvation, just contact us. You may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may email your request to ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Ask for The Gospel of Salvation, Full, Free, and Final by Alan Cairns.
Not just in a ceasefire or a truce with God. We have entered into a completely new relationship with God. And there is total friendship and fellowship. God is for us. And He's not for our enemies. That's the witness of Scripture. To put it in the words of Psalm 124, the Lord of hosts is on our side. How often we have sung that 124th Psalm. Now Israel may say, and that truly. And what is the great truth that Israel may say? Verse 1 and 2 of that Psalm, the Lord of hosts is on our side. In Psalm 3, verse 8, the psalmist puts it in slightly different language. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. That's a statement of fact. That's a statement of reality. That is the ongoing truth. God's blessing is upon God's people. God's favor rests upon God's people. He is for us. Now, you can't read what goes before here without realizing that. He foreknew us. He predestinated us. He called us. He justified us. He glorified us. What does that tell us? He's for us. Doesn't matter what's happening in the world. Doesn't matter what's happening in your body. Doesn't matter what appearances may say to the contrary. God is for us. That's the statement. Now, that's a huge statement, and this is one of the tension points of the sermon. How far do I go here? He is for us. That's in His own person. Our God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Father is for us. The Father who gave us to Christ in the covenant of redemption. The Father who in sovereign grace set His love upon us from all eternity. He's for us. The Son of God who accepted us as the Father's gift, who pledged Himself to stand in our place as our covenant head and discharge all the duties of the covenant to save us. The Son of God who came into the world to seek us and to save us. He's for us. How could you look at the cross and wonder if Christ is for you or not? The Holy Spirit, who pursued us when we were enemies, who convicted us, made us realize our need, who enlightened our minds, who renewed our wills, who drew us unto Christ, who regenerated us, made us new creatures in Christ. The Holy Spirit is for us. God is for us in the Trinity of His sacred persons. God is for us in all His perfections. What is God? God is a Spirit, says the Shorter Catechism. Infinite, eternal, and unchangeable. In His being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. Now take those lists of perfections. These attributes of God, the wisdom of God, the power of God, the justice of God, the goodness of God, all the perfections of God are for us. His eternal purpose, as we have seen, is for us. And every promise of grace is for us. You see, when you look at what God has said, what will we say to this? So often we react to what's happening. We react to how we feel at the moment. We react to the latest little circumstance. The Lord is saying, look at life through the lens of the gospel. Look at life through the first great certainty of grace, and you realize God is for us. What a comfort that is in life. What a comfort that is in death. What an absolutely necessary comfort it is going to be when we stand before God on the judgment. God is for us. The second thing we can say, verse 32, is that God delivered up Christ for us. Notice the words of verse 32. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. That little use of language, delivered Him up. That's the language of judgment. It's the language of condemnation. We read, He spared not His own Son. Think of that. That's also the language of judgment and of condemnation. Here's what the Bible says. God spared not the angels that sinned. He judged them. God spared not the old world in the days of Noah. He judged it. God spared not Sodom and Gomorrah. He judged them. And now we read, God spared not His own Son. That's the language of judgment. When it says He delivered Him up, that's also the language of judgment. The same word is used, and it's translated rather differently, but it's the same word. Judas betrayed Him. What was Judas's betrayal? He delivered Him up. He gave Him over. Then, when the Jews handed Christ over to Pontius Pilate, it's the same word, the Jews delivered Him to Pilate, the judge. And then Pilate, we are told, delivered Him up to the death of the cross. It's the same word throughout. Now we're told that God spared not His own Son, but He delivered Him up for us all. The language of judgment and condemnation. What will we say to all these things? We will say that God took His own Son and He gave Him up to the judgment of the wrath of a sin-hating God to save a bunch of rebel sinners from the just deserts of their sin. Isaiah 53 tells the story of Christ and His suffering unto death. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Notice this. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. I have said again and again in this pulpit, I've even tried to preach it a time or two, usually with a very deeply felt lack of success. I've covered it again and again and again in theology classes, for I want you and I want student ministers to get the force of this. To me, perhaps the greatest text in all the Bible that tells us about what God did in delivering up Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, Paul says, God made Him to be sin for us, He who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. The idea there is not that God made Christ a filthy sinner. The idea is not that Christ became morally corrupt. The idea is that there was a great transaction took place in which God took all the guilt of our sin and He placed it on Christ. That's called the imputation of sin to Christ. Our sin led to His account. For what reason? In order that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. He becoming our sin means our sin imputed to Christ. We becoming the righteousness of God in Him means His righteousness imputed to us, placed to our account. What will we say then to these things? We will say God is for us. We will say God is so for us that He delivered up His Son for us to take the judgment, the wrath, the curse of God, that we might receive all that He deserved by His obedience unto death. Which leads to the third great certainty of grace. Verse 33, God justifies us. God justifies us. What will we say in answer to Romans 8? We will say, hallelujah, He has justified us. What does that mean? Well, it's obviously the opposite to charging us. It's the opposite to condemning us. So if you want to know the meaning of justification, it is the judge having no charge against us, the judge having no condemnation to lay upon us, rather doing the very opposite. Now this is the total change of our standing with God. What are we going to say in answer to the gospel? And you know, if you can only grasp this, not just in words, but if this gets through to your heart, if this forms your thinking, if this is the lens through which you look at all of life, your life is going to be completely different. If only this gets through to the heart, this is the most life-changing realization that you can have as a believer in Christ. What will I say to all this? God has utterly, absolutely, completely, and eternally changed my legal status before God. I am no longer in Adam. The old man was crucified. I am now in Christ. I am no longer condemned. I'm accepted. There's no charge against me. There's nothing that God will hear against me. I'm covered by the blood and the righteousness of Christ. I'm embraced in the arms that embrace the Savior. And I'm acceptable to God as much as Christ is acceptable. And for the very same reason, His perfect obedience unto death. Everything He did redounds to my account. Now let that sink in. Every bit of the obedience of Christ is placed to my account. Now my legal standing before God is one that's absolutely different from before. It's a change that is irreversible. Notice clearly, what will we say to this? Whom He justified, He also glorified. None of the justified feel to be glorified. None of them. There's an absolute continuity there. What do we say to this? We will say God is for us. He delivered Christ up to death and judgment for us. And He justifies us in Christ.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.